ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
G'day there, I'm Carrington Clark and welcome to your Tax Week with ABC Business Daily, a special series that will be dropping in your feeds bright and early across this week. Now, since the government unveiled the federal budget back in May, there has been a lot of chit-chat about tax. Now, we have been covering some of those big proposed changes to tax policy on the pod, but as the financial year comes to a close, we wanted to bring you a special bonus series zooming in on how these policies might affect you right now and in the financial years ahead. So every day at 6 a.m, keep a lookout for a mini episode taking you through what you need to know this tax time before your usual Business Daily episode later in the morning. So let's kick things off, and to tackle this big issue across this week, I'm joined by ABC finance reporter Emily Stewart, also known to some of our listeners as Sensible Emily, editor of the Your Money Explained newsletter. Welcome aboard, Emily.
What an introduction. Thank you for having me, Carrington, and happy financial year eve. What a thrill it is.
Yeah, fantastic to have you, Emily. Great to be able to draw upon your expertise in this area. I know you've spent years looking at personal finance, how people can make sure that they've got the right systems in place to make sure they're maximizing their returns on their and make sure they're handling their money in a sensible manner like you do. Take me through your kind of process in the lead up to the end of financial year. What have you been making sure you've got set right to make sure that your tax return is as good as it can be?
Well, now's the time to sort of be getting organised, I think, with all your paperwork. And we're lucky these days doing your tax return is a lot easier to do yourself online or through an accountant because a lot of our information is pre-filled by the tax office. And so that's why they're saying don't actually get started on your tax on the 1st of July. Wait until the end of July when they've had time to collect all that information from the banks and from private health insurance and from your workplace, all those areas where they pre-fill your information. And then you can just concentrate on your work-related deductions and that sort of thing. So I've just been sort of trying to get my paperwork in order, looking through my emails or my bank statements to find if there's any work-related purchases I've made, and also making sure I'm topping up my super and doing some concessional contributions to try and top up my super, especially because I've had a couple of periods of mat leave where I wasn't being paid super. So that's something I like to do as it's coming up to the end of the financial year.
Yeah, let's start with the super contributions issue because I think for a lot of people this is slightly confusing. For most people, their super contributions are just the percentage of their employment, of their wage that is automatically paid by their employer into their superannuation account. I think for a lot of people, it's kind of set and forget. They're not really keeping a close eye on it. And then hopefully they'll have enough money by the time they get to retirement. But
yes,
there are actually ways that people can contribute themselves in a way that is tax concessional in order to ensure that you have more money for your retirement. Now, We are right on the eve of the end of this financial year. In many ways, it might be too late for people to take advantage, but talk us through how people in normal times, particularly if you've got enough time between the contribution and the end of the financial year, you can maximize that tax advantage of putting your own money into superannuation.
So it's probably a good time to actually be thinking about starting this for the new financial year because you might want to set it up as a salary sacrifice. And so you'll have to go to your employer and just sort of say, I want to put some of my extra money before tax into my super account. And that's going to be something called a concessional contribution. And so the way it works is that we can put up to $30,000 at the moment into our super funds. Part of that is what our employer does, so that 12% contribution that our employer does. But if you feel like you're behind with your super or you happen to have some extra cash or you want to take advantage of some of the sort of tax benefits of the super system, you can calculate the difference between what your employer puts in up to that $30,000 cap, and you can contribute some of your own money, and that would be taxed at probably for most people a slightly lower tax rate. And so you're getting some money into super and then you're getting those tax benefits for the income earned inside super as well. The only problem is for a lot of people, you don't have that extra cash lying around. We've got mortgages to pay and childcare fees and all sorts of other costs at the moment. But if you do happen to have some money or you're going to be retiring soon, it might be a good idea to think about doing that. And I think you can do it, you know, you could set it up from next week and just have whenever your next payday is for them to put, even if it's $100 or whatever you can afford, it becomes a regular contribution. And you can also do a large contribution at the end of the year. It's just harder to sort of save up a, you know, $10,000 or a considerable amount of money. You don't really want to go over that $30,000 cap though, because then you'll be paying extra tax, or maybe it will go into the year after. There's also something called a carry forward concessional contribution where you sort of can get that money that wasn't used, the gap for the previous years. And you, if you happen to get a promotion or come into a lot of money, you're able to sort of top up those previous years as well as this year. So it's definitely something worth doing. But I think on this final day of the financial year, the super funds say, look, it really has to be about a week or so earlier, just to allow the money to clear. So it's definitely something worth considering and budgeting for next financial year.
Because it's when the money hits your superannuation account. And when we talk about concessional amounts, the tax on super contributions is 15%. Now, for most people, as you said, Emily, that would be lower than their marginal tax rate, depending on how much income they earned. It can be even more. It can give a bigger advantage to people on higher incomes, less of an advantage for people on lower incomes. Remember, with super, you're not paying tax on the way out. So you are paying this contribution on the way in, but it can be a very good way of adding to your retirement account, which can obviously have big advantages. Now, obviously, a lot of people don't have spare money available to them. But as you said, if you spread this out over and have regular contributions on top of those that are mandated by law, the 12%, then that means it maybe doesn't feel quite as painful. But if you did, as you said, have an inheritance or something that's come up, that's another way of contributing. What else have you done in the lead up to this day? And is there anything else people should be getting done right now before the end of the financial year, do you think, to ensure that their tax affairs are in order?
So aside from that, I think thinking about your work-related purchases, and this is the last day you can obviously make those work-related purchases and claim them this year, and also donations and things like that that are not related to your work but still will be a tax reduction for you. So thinking about whether or not there is something you need, but of course the key thing is don't buy something you don't need, because it's not actually, you're not getting it for free. It is a reduction on the tax you'll pay. So if it's going to be a purchase, it has to be work related. It's got to be something you've spent out of pocket, not reimbursed by your employer, and you do need to keep a record of it, like a receipt. So I just think the key thing is a lot of people say to me, oh, but, you know, buy this and then it's a tax deduction, but it doesn't mean it's free. Like, you've got to think about it. It just means you're going to pay slightly less tax and you can use it as a slight reduction on your income that's taxed.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get this issue confused. Deductions are different than just the money coming back to you. You don't get
it's not a tax refund, Carrington.
Exactly.
Is it?
It's not a tax refund. So you do need to decide that this is something you actually want. But depending on what your marginal tax rate is, it can be a considerable saving than what you would otherwise get for a different type of purchase, right?
And if you've bought it, you may as well claim it. And there are some actually helpful occupation and industry guides on the ATO website. So you can look up radio journalist or plumber or teacher or whatever occupation you have, and it will give you some guides as to what you can and can't claim. So, you know, if you're working outside, you might be able to claim sunscreen. Slightly strange things like that that you might not think about until you've seen that advice on the ATO website. And of course, the purchases have to have been made in this financial year. So the 1st of July 2025 till today, the 30th of June 2026. So just make sure it's in this financial year, not the calendar year. Another thing to think about is everyone is eligible for $300 in work-related expenses without needing receipts. So if you have receipts, you might actually be better off just claiming everything separately. But perhaps you've bought, a whole lot of small things like stationery or whatever it is. You can claim those things without receipts up to $300, which is great to know.
Yeah, that is great to know. So important dates to remember. If you are lodging your taxes yourself, you've got until October the 31st to submit your tax returns to the ATO. If you're using an accountant, you can get longer, but you will need to have secured their services by that October 31st deadline. But remembering today is the last day of the financial year. And so as Emily's pointed out, if you are going to be making any work-related purchases that you can claim some tax back as part of your tax filing, they need to have been paid for today. So you need to get that done. You need to have the invoice ready so that you can claim it in this financial year. Okay, Em, you've spoken through some of the kind of smaller work-related purchases, but there's some kind of big, hefty purchases that you might be able to claim in your tax, right? Including work-from-home expenses, which is a big one for a lot of people at the moment, but also transport during their work practices.
Yeah, so they tend to be the biggest claims that people are making. So working from home, things like part of your electricity bill or your gas bill or your heating, a part of your mobile phone bill or your internet bill. But you've got to remember not to claim personal expenses. So it's just a portion of that. One really easy way, there's two methods to do the working from home claim. There's the fixed rate method, which is where you just claim 70 cents per hour. And that includes multiple expenses in it. So it's a pretty simple and quick way to claim. Or the actual cost method. Now, the actual cost method, if you do work from home full time and you have a lot of expenses from home, you might be better off using that method, but it is a lot more complicated and you need to keep extensive records. So the fixed rate method is probably the one most people will use, but you do still need to keep a record of actual hours worked from home. So you can't just say, oh, well, I did 3 days from home and it was 70 cents per hour and this is how I came up with the figure. You might need a timesheet, a spreadsheet, even a diary. You'll just need to justify your working from home claim. So that's one of them. The other one is your travel. Of course, you can't, unfortunately, claim your travel from home to work. That's considered just a personal expense. But if you have to go between sites or traveling during work hours for work, you can claim for that. So that's worth looking into as well.
And if you're going between two different types of work, my understanding is, yes, if you're employed by two different people and you were going from one to the other, I think you can claim that. Emily, we're going to have to put lots of disclaimers throughout this series.
Yes.
We're not giving financial advice. There are great accountants out there who can help you navigate it, particularly if you have a kind of trickier issue. The ATO does a good job of putting up examples through their website to help people identify what is an appropriate claim under the taxation arrangements. Mm. And of course, you always need to be honest in how you're filing.
They will find you, Carrington, because they're using AI, they're using data matching analytics, they're understanding your behaviour, your job. So if you claim, if you're a plumber and you claim chef's pants, for instance, that flags as a red flag. So yes, Carrington, they'll find you.
And they are getting better and better at this. And even if you think you might have gotten away with it this year, they can look backwards at previous returns as well, right? So it's really important that you're honest in your dealings with the ATO, that you're giving an honest appraisal of what have been legitimate expenses. And yes, it is only their data matching is only getting better and better and better, and will continue to get better and better and better. So I think people who think that they can kind of run a ring around the ATO might be in for a rude shock.
And they've actually put out a warning for people to stop claiming private expenses, and they had a few examples of what people had tried to claim. For instance, $17,000 worth of baby expenses like winter clothes and medical expenses. Don't know how that was work-related, and clearly the ATO didn't know either. But even things like meal deliveries when working from home, people had tried to claim those, but they were not accepted by the ATO. And you're right about doing it yourself versus an accountant. It is pretty easy. I've been doing it myself the last couple of years. But if you do have complicated tax affairs, that's where bringing in an accountant can really help you. And yeah, that's where to get the advice.
And sometimes an accountant is also very helpful for those people who maybe struggle to hit deadlines, having someone else be involved in the process means that you're more likely to get it done. That's it for our first episode in this special series of Tax Week bonus episodes. And if you haven't already, make sure you've signed up for Emily's newsletter from the ABC, Your Money Explained. We'll link it in the show notes. You can catch our usual episode of ABC Business Daily later today, and we'll be back in your feeds with more tax chat bright and early tomorrow morning. Catch you next time, Emily.
Stay sensible, Carrington.